Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. So we're having some technical difficulties right now, so let's see what happens. Hold on. All right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Dear brothers and sisters, mashallah, I'm away from my house, but I'm connected to the internet. Studio is open, and the piece that, of course, we want to play is loaded into the studio, and when I press play, it says that it is playing, but I'm hearing nothing. So some new stuff in the game, if you will. Well, my first inclination is not to replay last week's Juma. This is what I'm going to do. I am going to go ahead and start last week's Juma. Then I'm going to reload yesterday's Juma. So that's going to take maybe 5 or 10 minutes for it to reload, assuming that it does reload, because that's what I thought I already did. But given that it does reload, then I'll just go ahead and interrupt the play of last week's Juma with what we recorded yesterday. So I'm going to go ahead and start last week's and then go back into the lab, if you will, and reload yesterday and see, inshallah, see if that makes a difference, okay? If not, then we can have a brief conversation or a long conversation, and then that'll be that for the day. So thank you for your patience. Inshallah, we'll be back. All right. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum.
That's okay. Sugar.
Thank you.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله all unqualified praise is due to Allah and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين all unqualified praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم all praise is due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation or embarrassment that there is no deity, no object of worship except Allah له الملك His is the kingdom وله الحمد To him is due all unqualified praise بيده الخير In his hand is all good وهو على كل شيء قدير And he has power over all things ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله And I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation or embarrassment that Muhammad to whom the Quran is revealed is his slave servant and his messenger بعثه في الأميين Allah raised him up from among the unlettered ورسول منهم يعلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين Allah raised him up from among the unlettered, showing them how to follow the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, purifying them and teaching them the book and the wisdom, and drawing them out of the darkness into the light, while before this they were in open, obvious, and evident strain. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, وعلى آله and upon his family وصحبه أجمعين all of them and his companions and upon you O Muslim Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان Sadaqallah al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. An expression of this is the gracious, that is Allah's attribute, the gracious. Caused the Quran to be known, he created the insan and he taught him speech and intelligence. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. I want to read a couple of reports, a portion of large reports from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as they have significant bearing on the subject that we continue today further into the frontier of the Holy Quran. And this is the latter portion of Warqa bin Nufail who Khadija and I'll read the story bin Khuwailid radiallahu anhu, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took to give him clarity on what he had experienced on the first experience, on his first experience of the revelation of the Quran. A portion reported in Bukhari is this: Then Allah's Messenger returned with the inspiration, and with his heart beating severely. This is after that moment that he experienced Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Then he went to Khadija bint Khuwailid and said, cover me, cover me. She covered him till his fear was over. And after that he told her everything that had happened and said, I fear that something may happen to me. Khadija replied, never. By Allah, Allah never disgraced you. You keep good relations with kith and kin. You help the poor and the destitute. You serve your guests generously. And you assist the deserving calamity-afflicted ones. Khadija then accompanied him to her cousin, Warqa bin Nufail bin Asad ibn Abdul Uzza. Now, Abdul Uzza was one of the, if I'm remembering correctly, one of the idols of the time, but then his history is the history before the Prophet, and plus he was not a Muslim. at this time, but I just, since we have to say the name, we will make reference to what it's actually speaking to. She took him to him who, during the pre-Islamic period, he became a Christian and used to write the writing with Hebrew letters. He would write from the gospel in Hebrew as much as Allah wished him to write. As much as Allah wished him to write. He was an old man and had lost his eyesight. Khadija said to Waraka, "Listen to the story of your nephew, my cousin." Waraka asked, "Oh, my nephew, what have you?" This nephew is a term of affiliation, not that he was the blood nephew. Sometimes I do it, you know, it's like, "Hey, nephew." It's an affectionate term that we use towards those younger among us, but not related by blood. So he said, "Oh, my nephew, what have you seen?" Allah's messenger, peace be upon him, described whatever he had seen. And Waraka said, "This is the same one who keeps the secrets." He was speaking of the angel Jibril. In the English terminology, it's Gabriel. "This is the one who keeps the secrets whom Allah had sent to Moses. I wish I were young and could live up to the time when your people would turn you out." Allah's messenger asked, "Will they drive me out?" Waraka replied in the affirmative and said, "Anyone who came with something similar to what you have brought was treated with hostility. And if I should remain alive till the day when you will be turned out, then I would support you strongly." But after a few days, Waraka died, and the divine revelation was also paused for a while. This is the first. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi khalaqa al-insana fi ahsani taqweem. All praise is due to Allah, who created the human being in the most excellent mold. Wa ba'atha nabiyyina mubashirin wa munzirin, and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. له الملك, his is the kingdom, وله الحمد, to him is due all unqualified praise, بيده الخير, in his hand is all good, وهو على كل شيء قدير, and he has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله, and we bear open his sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that our leader Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. Ba'athuhu fil ummiyin, Allah commissioned him, raised him up from among the unlettered. Rasulun minhum ya'lu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakihim wa yu'alimuhum al-kitab wal-hikmah, raised him up from among the unlettered, showing them how to follow the signs of Allah and teaching them the book, purifying them and teaching them the book and the wisdom and drawing them out of the darkness into the light. وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. While before this, they were in open, obvious, and evident straying. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. O Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, وعلى آله, and upon his family, وصحبه, and upon his companions أجمعين. All of them, wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'da, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, alamahu al-bayan. Sadaqallahu al-azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. An expression of this, the first through the fourth ayah of Surah Ar-Rahman 55. The gracious, the most gracious, the merciful benefactor, Imam Muhammad translates Ar-Rahman, the merciful benefactor. It is he who caused the Quran to be known. He formed the human being, formed al-insan, formed the civilized creature. Allamahu al-bayan, and caused him to be intelligent. Alhamdulillah, we have gone through a number of iterations of expressions of this set of verses, 1 through 4 of Surah Ar-Rahman, and we're still working on the third of them, as obviously, mashallah, and I know we know as Muslims that there are many layers, to put it lightly, of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals. We're only speaking to patterns that are, I would say, accessible, and accessible to some with a little help in seeing, and that's what we're trying to provide. So we go through each one. So Ar-Rahman, at this point, we're speaking of the grace and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all humanity, not just the Arabs, to all humanity. So this Ar-Rahman, this graciousness, these merciful benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought into the world are being addressed in this set of verses. So we speak of Ar-Rahman, and the particular grace that we are focused on at this point is the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Quran in 21:107, it says, أعوذ بالله وما أرسلناك إلى رحمة للعالمين. And we have not sent you but as a mercy to all the worlds. And the essence of that mercy, with the focus that we're giving it right now, the essence of that mercy to the worlds is the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is the core of the grace that's being spoken of in the frame that we're giving it right now. That Quran, it is the height of the graces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to al-insan, that is, to the human being, that human being that Allah in
in the destiny and his will in creation intends to be realized on the earth. So this is Ar-Rahman and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being sent as a mercy to all the worlds. Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an, allama al-Qur'an. The very fact that it follows after that, we're able to put that emphasis on it, that the Qur'an is the first and the highest and the primary of those graces, causing the Qur'an to be known. And mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, to relate it to the beginning of our life as human beings, as revealed in the Qur'an, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allama al-adam al-asma'a, allama adam al-asma'a kullaha. And he caused Adam to know the nature of all things. He caused Adam to know the nature of all things. Same kind of terminology is applied. Allama al-Qur'an, allama adam, allama al-Qur'an. He caused Adam to know the knowledge of the nature of all things. So equationally speaking, it is implied that what you also have in the Qur'an is the knowledge of the nature of all things. And that is what we have in the Qur'an. We have in the Qur'an the knowledge of the nature of all things. So now when we go back and look at Ar-Rahman, framing it in the sense that, in the expression that the Qur'an is the height of those graces from Allah, علم عدم الأسماء كلها علم القرآن. So equationally speaking, the Qur'an is the knowledge of the nature of all things. And so now when we go back and look at the verse, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَكَ إِلَىٰ رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayh, he also translates that part of the Al-Fatiha where we say, أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He says, it's not just the Lord. Yusuf Ali, for example, gives it the expression, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَكَ, we have made you a mercy, لِلْعَالَمِينَ, and he translates it as all creatures, all creatures. But at the base of that word, عَالَمِينَ, is ilm, ilm. And when you talk about scholars, you call them عَالَمْس. They say they are عَالَمْس. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, it is, he's the Lord of the systems of knowledge. Which systems? All of them. All of them. So what is the Quran? What is the Quran? The Quran is a book that contains all systems of knowledge. All systems of knowledge are in the Quran. So among his top and uppermost graces is Ar-Rahman Allama Al-Quran. It's like if we understand what Allah has done to and for the world, then that's like, that's triple A number one blessing. And then what follows right after that, in the next verse, even though we're going to go back and spend more time with the second part of it, but to see the flow of it, Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Quran, now seeing the Quran as the uppermost of Allah's graces to the human being, to the worlds of knowledge. And if man needs anything, he needs knowledge. So Allah reveals the knowledge of the nature of all things in the form of a book. For those who grasp it, the next thing comes. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ. If you grasp the systems of knowledge that are embodied in the Quran, you can build civilization. You can have a civilized world. And that's what Al-Insan speaks more to than just, when we say created man, the limited perspective that we have of that word, the limited reaction that we have to that word is man. One small step for man, one giant step for mankind. And we think about the anatomical, biological, concrete man. But we remind that when you look at that word, al-insan, and then take a little poetic license and say, well, don't look at the transliteration as Arabic. Look at it as a compound word from two English words. Which two English words? The inside man. Inside man. Put them together. Insan. So who is that is being grown and developed and fed by this grace from Allah, the Quran? Not only is he being fed by it, he's actually being created by it. Because words make people, somebody said. So if you get the best words, what do you get? You get the best people. And see how it just goes on from there. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. The human being is made in the most excellent mold and structure. How is he to be made in the most excellent mold and structure? With the best words. Well, what is the best words? The best words are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is all this winds back to? Ar-Rahman. Allah, that is his grace. Now, having said that, then we have to ask ourselves, how much attention am I paying to that revelation? How much attention am I paying? How much attention do I give to that revelation? And then if you ask yourself, okay, I don't give that much attention to that revelation, then you have to ask yourself, are you valuing the revelation according to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended? And your answer to that will tell us what we should be doing, inshallah. So now, Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Qur'an, causing the Qur'an to be known. So everything that we say, inshallah, up to the end of whatever we have to say today, will all be inside the boundaries of 'allama al-Qur'an. That is, he caused the Qur'an to be known. He caused the Qur'an to be known to who? He caused the Qur'an to be known to Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He didn't cause the Qur'an to be known to the Prophet. He caused the Qur'an to be known to Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And when he caused the Qur'an to be known to Muhammad ibn Abdullah, that was the... You know, I'm thinking, is the best way to say it, is that was the beginning of the end, or the end of the beginning? And it's probably both, right? The end of the beginning, which beginning? When he created Adam, our essence, our reality, and then 124,000 prophets and messengers. Now here, Muhammad ibn Abdullah receives the Quran, and that's the end of that beginning. That's the end of that beginning. But it also is the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end of what? Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. That's the beginning. The beginning of what? Is the beginning of the last revelation. This is it. When this revelation is complete, when the last words that Allah intends to be bound as the Quran, when that ends, that's the end of revelation in that history. So when it came to Muhammad, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, that was the beginning of the end. But it was also the end of the beginning. I want you to really have value for that. The definition of a sentence. All of us learned a very long time ago what is the simple definition of a sentence. What is a sentence? A sentence is a complete thought. A sentence is a complete thought. All right? Well, how do you know that you're at the end of a sentence? You have to have punctuation. Until you understand how that sentence is punctuated, you don't even know how to read the sentence. Well, the words of Allah, let's put them in a string of 124,000 words. 124,000 words, 124,000 prophets bringing the word and words from Allah. So there's a sentence that's 124,000 words long, but you still can't read it correctly until you know how it's punctuated. The Quran is the punctuation of all revelation. The Quran is the punctuation of all revelation. So you can line up a sentence of however long, you really don't know how to read any word in that sentence until it's punctuated. When it's punctuated, say, oh, okay, well, this how, it really should be read as though it's a question or whatever the case may be. I'm not going to go all the way through all that. The point is that when you get the punctuation, then you can go back and see what every other thing, which means what? All the previous revelations, the Quran will help you understand all previous revelation. Now, how special is that? How special is that? And you have those people who have struggled for centuries to try to understand parts of their own revelation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the answer in the Quran and in the life model example and words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ar-Rahman allama al-Quran. He caused that Quran to be known to Muhammad ibn Abdullah. The Prophet was questioned. He said, Messenger of Allah, when was prophethood established for you? He said, when Adam was between soul and body. When he was between being just a soul, a nafs, without a body, before he even came into a body. That's Adam, not Muhammad ibn Abdullah, that's a given. But before Adam got a body. Prophecy or prophethood, pardon me, was established for the prophet. So even before the revelation began to human beings at all, the prophet was always in Allah's plan, in Allah's will. And then after his birth, the life that he lived also is a part of the mission of God, the plan of God. MashaAllah, so you can still look at that. You can look at that story of Adam or that picture of Adam in that same frame, and you get more, which is to say that inni, when Allah said to the angels, inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa, I am making in the earth a khalifa. The guy said, it is not saying I'm gonna, because when you understand the Arabic, there are particles huruf, letters, etc., that tell you that this imperfect tense verb is speaking to something in the future. He didn't say sa, which is one of those particles. He said, inni ja'ilu fil ard. Right now, I am making in the earth a khalifa. Right? So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in that plan. Muhammad was in the making. All right? And the fact that his preparation, there's a point where I have to follow the, I'll explain maybe later. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in my bloodline, there was no fornication or adultery. In my bloodline, there was no fornication or adultery. So it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that kept the whole bloodline pure. So no matter, so wherever you can trace Muhammad ibn Abdullah's life back to, you know, ancestry.com or whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's like, wherever you trace it back to, no fornication, no adultery, no fornication, no adultery, no fornication, no adultery, no fornication, no adultery, all the way up to his mother and his father, no fornication, no adultery. In the whole line! You know, that's got to be rare. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Maybe it's not funny, I don't know. But, you know, it's just wonderful. So the idea is to understand that Allah, from the inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa, I am, my process is at work right now to make a khalifa in the earth. That's what he's telling the angels did. when Adam was between soul and body, he was telling that they hadn't been made yet. Adam had not been formed yet. The Adam that we read about in traditions, in Quran, it said, hadn't been formed yet. Allah said, this is what I'm doing. All right? And Muhammad was already in that plan. And history and all the history involved with, you know, whatever, you can call it geology, cosmology, the existence of the material world, etc. Inside of all that process was Muhammad, ultimately to come in finality of Allah's will, when that vessel arrives and stands up in an anatomical form, that's Allah's vessel. To whom Allama al-Quran. He created the vessel, protected the vessel, kept it pure, stood it up on the earth, and then Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Can you see Muhammad as the pure product of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let me put a cultural vernacular on it. A little humorous, but this is language that we speak in the culture. Imagine Allah say, I did that. Have you heard anybody say, I did that? It's like, yeah, I did that. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, he can be read as saying, I did that. So I know we already understand it, but now put that frame on it and say it again. Not now, but just say it again. Muhammad ibn Abdullah is Allah's creation. Muhammad ibn Abdullah is Allah's creation. I made him for my specific purpose. And his purpose is to be the receptacle, the walking model of, the last of my words of revelation that I will send to human beings. Some ideas of how Allah protected him during his young life. One of them is in his personal life history, Allah preserved Muhammad ibn Abdullah's original nature for the purposes that we've just mentioned, for the purpose of being a fit vessel for the last revelation. His biography, the Prophet Sirah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reveals that before he was a prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah was employed, like all other young men of his age, in tending the sheep and the goats of Mecca on the neighboring hillsides and valleys. On one occasion, when he was engaged in his duties in the company of a lad of the Quraysh, he asked him to look after his flock so that he could go into Mecca, that's the Muhammad, that he could go into Mecca and divert himself there, as other youth did to divert themselves at night. But no sooner had he reached the precincts of the city than a marriage feast engaged his attention, and he soon fell asleep. On another occasion, he again fell asleep on his way to the city until morning. In this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from the temptations, and he never again sought after such diversions. See, that purity became one of the credentials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established for Muhammad ibn Abdullah in his first life. For 40 years, that purity was maintained, and for the purpose there to be the vessel for the truth of the revelation and a credential for the truth of the revelation that he would receive. As we've said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed that purity by the statement that in my bloodline there's no fornication or adultery, And that purity became the credentials that Allah established in his personal history in order for it to support the truth of the revelation when he received it. So Muhammad ibn Abdullah had a very high credit rating. He had triple A credit with the society. And when we read a portion, well, we read the whole presentation as recorded in the report of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, that he cited to the Najash with regard to the distinction of Muhammad. Just one portion of it we'll repeat here, where he said, "We knew no law but that of the strong. When Allah raised among us," and now I can say, "then Allah raised among us a man of whose birth, truthfulness, honesty, and purity we were aware." We all knew him as Al-Amin. We all knew him as being trustworthy, honest, truthful. He had that credential with us. So when he came to us, we had no doubts about him because his trustworthiness is well established. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats this in the Quran, Surah Yunus, that is Surah 10, Ayah 16. The Prophet himself says, Allah says to Muhammad to say, "If Allah had so willed, I would not have rehearsed it to you, nor would he have made it known to you. A whole lifetime before this have I lived amongst you. Will you not then understand?" Alhamdulillah. So the Prophet is saying, listen, you know me, as he said in the beginning of the revelation itself. You know me. I wouldn't be telling you this if Allah had not willed it so, because my life has already been to you an open book. My life has been an open book to you. You know me, and you know my trustworthiness is established. Had it been otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have caused it to be that way. So that is Allama al-Quran, Allah causing it to be known particularly to Muhammad ibn Abdullah. In fact, there was no other vessel that would have been fit or suited or who was created for that purpose. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us the indisputable vessel for his work. Allah's work, you know, it is perfect. It's not just, I was about to say, it's got to be perfect. No. His work is perfect. And so Allah, I'm doing this. Allah, I'm doing this, and I'm doing everything required for the perfection of what my will is in the world. Right? And the last revelation that came to the Prophet, "Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mat wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-din." So Allah says the perfect work is mine. And also even while the Quran was being revealed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, there were occasions where he would try to exert himself. And Allah said, no, don't move your tongue hastily. Don't worry about it. This is mine. I'm the one who's revealing it. I'm the one that's spreading it. And I'm the one that's going to protect it. You just be the vessel. That's what we have in Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And Muhammad, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So revealing the Quran to Muhammad, allama al-Quran, revealing the Quran to Muhammad ibn Abdullah is a part of the revelation itself. Because Allah reserved his original nature in order that he would be a pure vessel for the last revelation. Now, brother and sister, those two facts alone justify seeing Muhammad ibn Abdullah as the answer to what the Quran speaks of with regard to Mary and Jesus as a sign. I'm going to go slow for you now. Go ahead, take a deep breath, and we'll go, inshallah. In the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, the chapter of the believers, Ayah 50, it begins, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ وَجَعَلْنَا ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ وَأُمَّهُ آيَاتٍ. And we made the son of Mary and his mother as a sign. That's plain from Allah. We made the son of Mary and his mother a sign. Allahu Akbar. A lot of work can be done with that. But take these two facts, the sustained purity of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sustained from the beginning of his genetic line all the way to Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Take that, and then Allah sending him the Quran. So you take his purity, his divine, his sacred purity. When I say divine, I mean by Allah's will and design, the way he sustained that purity. And the words, as we begin in the opening, Ba'athahu fil ummiyin, also has critical relevance. Ba'athahu fil ummiyin, he commissioned him from among the ummiyin. Some translators say the unlettered, some say the ignorant, what have you. But is in there. Someone who is true to their original nature. Someone who is true to the foundation of their original creation. Ummiyin. So that prophet comes with the pure nature. So he comes from the pure nature. And then Allah reveals upon that pure nature his truth. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. He's revealing something, there is no crookedness in it. Nothing twisted, nothing wrong, nothing deceptive, nothing confusing. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, for the muttaqeen. Now it can be confusing to the people who are not mutaqeen, those who are not sincere to Allah. None shall touch it but the purified, the Quran says. So those who are of impure intention, motivation, etc., no, they won't get it, they won't see it. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being such, then he becomes the revelation. I need to mention one more thing, just in case that's a little too far to reach, but I'm saying it shouldn't be. Simply stated, Allah said, the son of Mary and his mother are a sign. How much more explicit can it be? It's like, if a sign points to something else. You get on the highway and you get on the highway and then you see a sign, say Los Angeles, 423 miles. It's like, oh man, great, I'm in Los Angeles. No. You are reading a sign that tells you how far you have to go to get to Los Angeles. Stop sign tells you what to do. You don't just look at the stop sign. In East Oakland they do, but they look, if they look at it, they keep going, right? No, the sign is telling you something to do. Jesus and his mother's a sign. Question. Of what? Of what? I really want you to think about it. Sometimes we don't understand how unconsciously somebody else has framed our way of seeing. And in essence, they frame our way of reading. So there's something right in front, physically right in front of our eyes,
But because of the psychological condition we've been put in, we don't even see it.
Some of you, if you've never seen it, I hope, I believe some of you have seen that whole basketball, the gorilla suit and the basketball, the gorilla and the basketball. Oh, just look it up and you'll find it. Spoiler alert, I'm not really trying to kill it for you, but the point is we got to say this and move on. They demonstrate, and when you, if you come to it purely, if you experience it purely without a heads up, then you say, oh. You will actually experience what it's set up to do. So I'm going to have to go ahead and kill it so we can finish this khutbah. Listen. It shows people in black shirts, people in white shirts, and they're passing a basketball. They're passing a basketball. And so the way it starts, they tell you, count how many times the people in the white shirts pass the basketball. Count how many times the people in the white shirts pass the basketball. So you set. Okay, let me see. And so the people are, they're going to globetrotters. You understand what I'm saying? They're just going between each other, passing the ball. So you got the black shirts going between the white shirts, and you're trying to see when the ball gets into a white shirt hand, da, da, da. So you watch, and then they ask you, how many times? Boom, 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 boom. So people give their answers. Then they ask the question, did you see the gorilla? And did you see the gorilla go across the floor? And then, what gorilla? What gorilla? Nobody saw the gorilla. And then they replay the actual thing, what actually happened. And the gorilla come in, he walks into the middle of these people, he like moonwalks and something else, and then goes off the screen. And the majority of the people looking at that did not see the gorilla. The vast majority did not see the gorilla. Why? Because you were conditioned not to look for a gorilla. You were told what to look for, so you were under the spell of the instruction, and so therefore your perception, though physically it was right in your face, mentally it wasn't even there. This is what has happened to the majority, and especially new Muslims. Somebody else have brought their frames to you that they inherited from someone else, valid though they may be, but they have restricted your perception, only see what our frame shows you. And when you subscribe to that, then that means that you are blind to any other way of seeing it. So let's go back and conclude this portion, khutbah. So when Allah says that He made the son of Mary and his mother a sign, my question is, a sign of what? So it's like, you read it and just keep reading. You don't stop there. You're like East Oakland drivers, man. It's like, no, you're supposed to stop at the sign, read it, and do what it says. So we're offering at this moment, as we conclude this portion of the khutbah, we're offering, Isa and Mary are a sign of Muhammad ibn Abdullah receiving the Quran. Muhammad is the Mary with his pure original nature that was prepared and set apart in order to receive the Spirit and the Word of God. And that's what happened. So the return of Christ is who? It's the Quran. The Quran is the return of Christ.
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Now, while I really believe it or not, I'm mentioning that as a marginal note, as a footnote, in a manner of speaking, to what we're saying. Because it's so rich and important for that. Many of you have heard us address that because the way of reasoning, how do you reason with that once you get started? The first thing that you're going to do naturally is try to match up part for part. Okay, Muhammad's Mary. Oh wait. Mary is a woman. How Muhammad going to be a woman? Oh, man, you kind of tripping now. Right now, you know, not this month. Next month, you may talk about, but this is the wrong month to be talking like that. Some of y'all know what I'm saying, but let's. So, mashallah. So, but see, it is a critical thing. Believe it, mashallah. I know you trust me, but we just have a tendency sometimes to say, believe it or not. Okay? I'm trying to get to Bayan. Alamahul Bayan. That's what we're trying to get. And we're going to keep walking on the journey. Al Bayan taught him speech and intelligence, as it said, right? That's where we want to go. Now, I have to make this point for you to really, inshallah, not miss the benefit if it's in your heart to get the benefit. How does Mary become Muhammad in that reading without violating something, whatever, crucial, abstract thought? You need to. Especially if you feel some little, go do some research on human language and abstract thought. Just do that. Just Google human language, abstract thought. The role of language, abstract thought. What is that? Look it up. Because once you understand that, then you understand that it is human language. علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. This البيان is abstract thought. But abstract thought is possible only for human beings because it is only the human being that has the capacity for abstract thought. But as well as we do with language, and we've done beautiful things. Al-Insan civilization has been built based on this power that we have as human beings. And as powerful as our common human language is, and human language across the globe, the language that Allah reveals in the Quran is superior to human language. The words of the Quran are not the words of man. The words of the Quran are the words of Allah. Allow me to say this to appreciate it. That book is from the mind of God. I'm just saying it that way, just a way of understanding. God doesn't have any body. But what he revealed, it was not in the quote-unquote mind of man to express, say, know, understand. But because of the nature of human language, when Allah reveals the Quran, now that human language that's used to chewing on things in his environment, he's been given something else to chew on now. God said, you've been chewing for a few million years now. Now chew on this. Put this in your brain. Put this in your machinery of mind and see what comes out. You may find the Renaissance comes out. Civilization, so many other things. All right. So relative to a spam call just called and distracted me. Okay, so just understand that. Oh, Mary. Okay, that's what we're talking about. The word that Quran comes from, which is also the word that Iqra comes from, is also the same word that Qaf, Ra, Hamza. It means the woman's cycle. It means the woman's cycle. So the same word from which we get Quran. It's not a wrestling between yeah and aleph and this or that. No, that word Quran is rooted in the same word. It's on the same tree that the word for a woman's cycle is in Lughat al-Arabiya. Now that should be enough to get you from Muhammad to Mary. And if that's not enough, then read the story of Mary where she was set apart. She was taken out of the main population and isolated. Like Muhammad going into the cave. He was set apart in his purity. And Allah fed him there just like Mary was fed when she was separated from the rest. And the creation-supported logic of this as well is, get whatever, Wikipedia, whoever else. Let me see what my time frame is. Good. Okay, we got 2-3 minutes. Cross-section of the woman's reproductive organs. Cross it. You're looking at it from the front. So you have the birth canal, you have, quote, we'll call it the uterus, and then you have the fallopian tubes. The sperm goes up into the birth canal, and then it finds its way up into the fallopian tubes, which is where the egg is. And the successful sperm fertilizes the egg just there outside the fallopian tube. Now it's fertilized. What happens then? The fertilized egg comes down out of that fallopian tube area and then it attaches itself to the uterine wall. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. That's the علق. It's attached to the side. And then what happens? A sheath of blood wraps over that fertilized egg attached to the womb and then the womb grows. The verse that is said, and you have difference of opinion, but mashallah, the verse that is said to be revealed after that, O thou wrapped on. It's either Muzammil or Mudathir. It's not in my head right now. Excuse me. It's either Muzammil or Mudathir. Muzammil, mashallah, alhamdulillah. So, O thou wrapped on, arise and mourn. Isn't that what happens with a pregnancy?
If you didn't see it at 2 months and you didn't see it at 2.5 months, you start seeing it at 3 months, you sure gonna see it 4 months. Something's coming. Arise and warn. So the feminine aspect that gives us Muhammad in abstract language is that he was the passive receiving what Allah sent, and he was impregnated by it, and he was the warner, is the warner to the world, and he gave birth to an entirely new community, and his life itself is actually the word made flesh. So again, these two facts, Muhammad's purity and his receiving the Quran, they are the fulfillment of Mary and Jesus as a sign. So really, I can't show you how much Bible is just waiting in the wings for what we're saying here. The point is that some of us may be in our souls and not knowing it since we were raised as Christians. And so many Christians in the world at large, they're waiting for Jesus Christ to return physically. And yes, some Muslims, some Muslims, waiting for Jesus physically, bodily, literally, concretely, to come down on earth somewhere to do what he's supposed to do, according to the way they read it. When they fail to recognize Jesus Christ is already here in the book. That is the spirit and the word from God, which is the definition of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So I'll leave you with this. Those of you somewhere, maybe in your spirit, is telling you, I need to look at that a little more. Just read John of the Bible. Read Jesus, John, in the Bible. And look with a different mind. Look with a different mind. And it's not difficult, mashallah, I believe, for the sincere. It's not difficult at all to see that the line that was broken from the 124,000 messengers that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam came to rejoin and reconnect is, and what he was pointing to, is realized in Muhammad, realized in the Quran. And if we accept the Quran as the actual, you might feel like I don't need to suggest that to Muslims, but I do, as the actual word from the Creator, words that he decided to give to the world, whom Muhammad was just the vehicle. God is, I got to get my word to you somehow. Here, I have Muhammad. Muhammad, here. Take this, give it. Don't add nothing. Don't do it. I got you locked down. It's like, just give him that. And we still have that book with us right now. And we have to ask ourselves, but what are we doing with it? ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance and protection. We thank you for your generosity. We thank you for your merciful benefits. We thank you for enlightenment. We thank you for sight. O Allah, purify us in our vision. O Allah, save us from false perceptions. Oh Allah, bless us to be free from anything that limits our ability to grasp and understand and apply what it is that you have revealed. Oh Allah, if there are any doubts in our hearts for the power, the value, the strength that you have given us in the Quran, oh Allah, remove that from us. Remove from us any hesitation. Remove from us any laziness. Remove from us any doubt and unwillingness to exert ourselves in order to become closer and closer to what you have revealed to us. We know that this is your final revelation to the human being. Oh Allah, make us among the few who seek out its best understanding. Make us among the few who seek to apply that understanding, and make us among the few who work to build the world that you revealed for its creation. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa aqim as-salat.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for being with us this morning for Universal Dimensions of Leadership. We just rebroadcast yesterday's recording of Jumu'ah, continuing the subject further into the frontier of the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah. I'm interested, willing, inviting comments, feedback, input from you with the consideration that there may be others who also have comments, but it would be greatly welcome. So push one on your phone if you have a comment to make, something to add, a question to ask. That would be welcome. Failing that, you know, since we kind of run a little bit longer today because of technical glitches at the beginning, so this invitation has a shelf life on it. Because failing that, I'm going to go on with some, a continuation of what we talked about during the broadcast. But I always want to hear from you. So, inshallah, if you have comments, please come on through with them, okay? Let's go with Ms. Georgetta. We got to watch out because she has a tendency to ask those earth-shaking questions, inshallah. This is an all blog talk morning, too, so there's no, we're not going to go to Facebook just in case you're waiting for that. Georgetta, what's going on?
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, ma'am. This Kubar go by without saying a word. It's like truly wanted to take your breath away. Still trying to breathe. Just so much. For a long time, I kind of like struggled. I'm not going to recall, but a while back, I was kind of like struggling a little bit with the feeling for the Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and I didn't really get it, get what it was all about. Mm-hmm. Like, I could feel that way about Imam Muhammad, but I didn't get the reverence and everything, the essence of the praise for the Prophet, And so, yes, gradually you answered that and gradually you brought me along. And also one of my sisters who was on the broadcast also at that time, she was like, I used to feel the same way too, And then, she referred me to some reading. But there was so much in this Kubar, with the tying it in just knowing what the Quran is now, and the whole Mary and Jesus thing. I have a question. The only question I have, like I said, everything you said was kind of like breathless. Like, I have to go back and listen to all that again. The only question I have, and I really hesitate to ask because I think it may be something I should just go ahead and research myself and not try to just ask you for the answer, but I'm not really understanding the Bayan. What is that? Would be my only question. Bayan. What's Bayan? You said Bayan.
That's a whole chapter. Alamahul Bayan. That's a whole chapter. Let me tell you the point that I intend to make to draw out from it. And so you'll have that to kind of, ingest and let it gestate with you until we get to that point. But Bayan, which is translated as translated as and taught man speech and intelligence, use of Ali's translation, speech and intelligence. Bayan at the level that we'll be addressing it is the idea, because I know you're with me, mashallah, you know, practically 100% of the time. So you have the whole Quran Tilawat Institute piece. We have you've gone through the truth, the science of truth and reality. That whole series, that whole sequence. Inside of both of those is the fact that you have the nature of creation, which is Haqq, the nature of creation, which is truth and reality. That is, truth and reality is in everything. Whatever, you know, the trees, the flowers, the dirt, the air, the sun, and these are all just manifestations of the foundation of creation, which is itself unseen. Allah created everything bil haqq. So that means the haqq is in everything. Everything. The tree is haqq. The flowers are haqq. The dirt is haqq. The wind is haqq. The water is haqq. The sun is haqq. The moon is haqq. Okay, so there's truth in all of that, right? But how to draw that out and express it, meaning draw it out and put it to work in your life. Okay, the sun is true. So what? How do I draw from it and how do I make it work in my life, what I'm able to abstract from it? That is Bayan. Bayan is taught man the language of creation, the grammar of creation, which is seen in its processes. And he's taught him how to express those expressions from creation, right? So, I mean, even with that, you can see human language is expression squared, right? Because you have the creation that's expressing and then man abstracting from the creation and then expressing what he abstracts. That's expression squared. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us is the truth of the unseen behind everything that we see. So, but see, that's essentially the summary. I thank you for the question, but that, in essence, the summary. So when we get to it, we'll get to walking by edification, stack upon stack upon stack, to get to that conclusion, inshallah. Got it?
Okay. Yeah, got it. Okay, thank you, ma'am. Only thing else I would say quickly about this kutbah was, you know, when you refer to somebody being like you, and you're like, boy, that happened. You wasn't even a twinkling in your daddy's eye. But when that happened,
that's
you
right.
You weren't even
that's
born. Yeah. So
right.
When you said the Adam between the soul and the body of Adam, right?
Right.
And then the last thing was the last few years, this whole genealogy thing has become just blown up, you know, into a big marketing and, you know, almost everything, right? But but who can like go back and trace your bloodline to where there's like not any fornication, any adultery in your whole bloodline? You know, it's like it almost can't even. I don't want to say a black people because that's like everybody, but you know, just looking around at everybody,
that's
remarkable.
That's unique
and
rare. Yeah,
rare, unique and rare that that he was prepared like that. So that was all. It was just like very powerful. Kubah, ma'am, thank you for that. And have a good day. Assalamualaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. All right. All right. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shawab, and to your very astute listeners. Mark Shaheed from the STL here, the Gateway City of St. Louis. Alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belong to Allah.
And the show me state of Missouri.
I thought I would leave it off this time, but the show me state of Missouri. Alhamdulillah. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, as we all know. Excellent, part excellent khutbah. So much was said, like our sister Georgiella had just said. I just want to be clear in my thinking, you know, and I'm quite sure you'll probably talk about it in a few minutes here, in terms of the signs, both the mother of Esau, Mary, and her son being signs, as you related in your khutbah, in terms of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, is seen in Mary in terms of the purity, the pristine nature that really was not altered or untouched in that regard. As you look at the Immaculate Conception, but what was produced from her, you know, and looking at it in the abstract, that this is how you got Esau, but he was assigned too. But I was thinking when you said that the Quran was the return of Esau, are we looking at it as in terms of that body of knowledge that came as a result of that, of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the manifestation of what Isa, being the word and a sign, being the manifestation of that. So when it actually is that we see in the Prophet Muhammad what it was that his life was all about, and we know that as Aisha Rahimahullah Anna said, that he was the Quran in motion, walking, or exemplary of the Quran. Would that be what it was that was the return of Esau? Because even in the
biblical, all of those.
Yeah, biblical scripture, it was that Esau said that he must go away for the comforter to come. And so the comfort that we get is in the manifestation of what Esau represented as the sign and as the word of God. But now we see the manifestation of that exemplified, that the people can actually see that in Abasharun Musulakum, flesh and blood human being just like you. I'll stop with that, but I'm quite sure that you may expound upon that even more so. But it was beautiful, beautiful khutbah, and the way that you presented it, and the abstract which the human being has, only has that capacity to be able to do that, is other creation don't have that ability to be able to relate in that regard. Thank you, and may Allah continue to bless you and us with better understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran. Yeah, we'll speak a little bit to that. Thank you, as always. My brother Nazim, also. Assalamu alaikum, man.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Brother Imam and your listening audience. I want to go back all the way to the beginning of the program. That's really when it started for me, and as it progressed, you know, the content was like everyone is saying, but what I saw as a sign from Allah is that we needed to be a little bit more humble and patient. So our story got off to somewhat of a rocky start, but as it progressed on, Allah showed us with the fact that we were humble and patient, that it was worth the wait. And we got the weight of the message, because it is a weighty message, you know what I'm saying? We're still wrestling with the weight of the message, you know what I mean? But I think what he was trying to show us that we might want to need a little something along the way, and that provision that we may need is to be patient and to be humble. And I think that everybody who stayed, they got a little bit extra doses of that, and I think they might realize that that probably is needed. We may have one, we may not have the other, we may have both, we may not have enough of both. And in this particular case, Allah allowed us to get the doses that we needed. And we thank Allah, and we thank Allah for you, because you were kind of conflicted. Should I play, just give up on it and play the one from last week? No, I'm not. I'm going to play a little bit, and I'm going to reload, and we're going to try to see if we can make it happen with Allah's help. And I think that that's really an exercise that we need to look at it. And most things that we do, we don't apply it. Like we give up too quick, or we move forward too quick, or whatever. So all of it requires patience and humility. And I think we got a little dosage of that and a little example of that today, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. That's very important. Yeah, and that was my thought process. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Alaykum
as-salam. Yes, sir. That's it.
Alaykum as-salam. Yes, sir. All right. All right, 395, I saw you check in and check out. Are you giving up or are you coming back? If you're coming back, then punch up now, 510-395. Failing that, then we're going to go on. All right, going once. All right, so that's going to be the end of the feedback for now. I was going to go back to Brother Mark's point. I once asked Imam Muhammad, because he had said so many things about Jesus Christ and Jesus this and Jesus that, and naturally, you know, when we begin to try to sort things out, okay, and then this is not just for Mark. Mark is quite, you know, quite studious and deliberate about knowing and learning continuously from what the Imam is given. That being said, there are those, however, who they land on one meaning for something that they heard from Imam Muhammad, and then they stick with that. And if something else is said that they haven't heard from the Imam, then they have a tendency to think that was not quite right, because I never heard that, I'm suspicious of it. Again, I'm saying this is not what Mark is saying. I'm just using it as a platform for expressing this. My own personal experience, I was with some, I'm just going to call it a high-level engagement on the interfaith with the Imam, and there were Muslims, Jews, Christians, you know, Buddhists, what have you. In fact, it was one of the primary starting conferences of the the global, because the Reverend Bill Swing out of San Francisco, not Reverend, Bishop Bill Swing, was one of the principal starters of that. So it's like the religious UN. It's like the, I can't think of the name right now. The Imam was one of its presidents or whatever. In any case, so we were on the Stanford campus and we were having this conversation, blah, blah, blah. So then when we broke off, we broke off in our own cohorts, I think it's called. You know, so the Muslims, you know, went with the Muslims just for the break, kind of like for a break, lunch, what have you. So they weren't breakout sessions specifically related to the conference, but they were just opportunities for everyone to get with their own flock, if you will, and just, you know, dialogue. So we were with the Muslims, and so there was a Muslim from whatever country, but he was of a high order, and so I was there in the group, and so he started speaking, and he started speaking about Abraham, and when he started speaking about Abraham, he was saying things that I hadn't heard the Imam say. And my kind of reaction, there was a small enough reaction. Things are so sensitive in that kind of environment. You don't have to say a whole lot in order to move the atmosphere. So it's like, you know, you're in a group of people where, you know, the volume don't have to be that much for them to pick up on whatever it is. So whatever it was, that, you know, I'm still young, still a little bit of yolk, a little wetness behind my ears in this space. And so I said, I spoke something that suggested that he might not have it right, even though I was saying something that the Imam has said to us, right? Because I'm very, very, in my early days, I was very, I don't know, defensive of Imam Muhammad's, whatever he would give us, it's like, don't you dare say nothing that Imam Muhammad didn't say, or say something different than what Imam said. And I'm like that little dog Spike, or Spike's buddy in that commercial, you know. Not the commercial, that cartoon. In any case, so the Imam gave me a look, and that's one of the ways that the Imam can, he'll get to you. He don't even have to say it. You know, it's just like one of them mama looks. You know, it's like, you know, if you're out with your mama, you remember when you were small and then you did something and mama didn't like, all mama had to do is just look at you. And when mama looked at you, okay, so the Imam gave me that look in that. And my lesson from that is that, listen, what I told you is not the only thing to be said about whatever it was that is being talked about. And in this circle, you want to draw from whatever others have from that, right? So that was one of my early lessons at this level of thinking that says, okay, well, other people see other things than what you have. You remember said as much. Don't think that what I tell you is the only thing to be said about this subject. So now going back to the Jesus Christ idea, in principle, the same thing when it comes to Imam Muhammad himself. So I questioned the Imam on another occasion regarding Jesus Christ and repeating to him things that he had said about Jesus Christ. So I said, well, you said Jesus is this and that and that and that and that, and then you also said Jesus is this, that, and that and that and that. So my question was sort of like, quote, unquote, which one is it, right? Which also suggests that I was still not suggest, the fact was, by that very question, the fact was that my maturity into that level of abstraction about Jesus the sign or Jesus as a sign was still growing. But alhamdulillah, half a question, intelligent question, half of knowledge. And so the answer that came from that, which was an intelligent question, the answer that came from that, the Imam said, yeah, he said, Jesus is all, he's all of those things. It just depends on your point of departure. What is meant by point of departure is it depends on which frame you start from, which frame you're putting it in. So when you look at it in one frame, then it means this. You look at it in another frame, then it means it's the same thing. So the same object, the same symbol, the same sign has many different facets, has many different angles. And all of those angles, Allahu A'lam, all of those angles are true. One critical verse to understand and keep as a principle, especially in abstract reasoning, Quranic reasoning, inference making, et cetera, is Surah 39. I believe it's called the crowds. The chapter is called the crowds. Surah 39, ayah 18. And it is, the believers are those who seek to hear the word and follow the best meaning in it. So then that means that there are layers of meaning. And by the grace of Allah, you know, everybody receives at their level, or they receive that they are able to reach. But it doesn't mean that that explicitly says that there's more than one level to look at it. But then each level that we see it on is correct on that level, right? And so which level is correct depends on, well, what is it that you're trying to answer? What is it that you're trying to address? Because you have to go in, it's just you're thinking about a toolbox, right? Think about a toolbox. And so you have these tools that have different, you know, measures, right? You have 3/8, 1/4 inch, so it has different measurements, right? Okay, well, what job are you trying to do? Depending which tool you need is dictated by the job you're trying to do. What Jesus, Mary, the Word of God, what they all mean, it depends on what is it that you're trying to address. And so once that's decided, well, then that gives you the context that will tell you whether you have the right interpretation in that instance for Jesus, his mother, the Word, Christ, et cetera. So it's multifaceted, and what is correct for any given interpretation at any given moment in time has to do with, okay, it is an answer to what? Or what is it that you're trying to address? So Jesus, his mother, et cetera, as a sign, is all of those. It is all of those. So the context that I spoke in was to speak to the starting point, as the man says. It depends on your point of departure. Well, the starting point for yesterday and that we aired this morning was the fact that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, he was kept pure by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was protected from the social environment. He was protected from being acculturated. And look at, so let's go ahead, let's just extend that part of it. Because I didn't actually have it in my notes to go through that. So, mashallah, alhamdulillah, there's no boast. Everything that I was saying about it was extemporaneous yesterday and continues right now. And that is that so there were two things that we established in what we said. One was that Muhammad ibn Abdullah was made a pure vessel by Allah. Literally, his body, his DNA, his form, that clay, if you will, was shaped up into Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So the picture of the correlation between Muhammad ibn Abdullah and Adam of original creation, this started just coming forward as just clearly. Because Allah, in the hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, where Adam was shaped, he was put into the shape that he was, and the hadith says he was left in that shape for 40 periods. 40 periods. I think it even said 40 years. The hadith. That's very clearly, that's Muhammad. Because he received the revelation after 40. So the correlation is mathematically exact, really, between the life of Muhammad ibn Abdullah and the hadith as relates to Adam. And that being true, then you can also make the same correlation to Adam in the Quran. And it's also true, just as mathematically certain, that this Adam that's spoken of, Alama Adam and Asma Kullaha, this Adam that's being spoken of, it is also a sign of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, right? So all this, you know, comes out in the idea of first the purity in the life of Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Okay, so the Mary connection. So I believe you can look at all of the 19th surah, that whole story of Mary. So what I'm saying is that once you get on that road, okay, Muhammad's purity connects him to Mary. So I mean, I mentioned Adam, and I'm not moving away from that. Now I'm coming back to Mary, right? So in the 16th verse, now I'm looking at the translation of, in the 16th ayah of the 19th surah of the Quran, surah from Maryam, right? So 16, it says, relate in the book the story of Mary when she withdrew from her family to a place of the east. She placed a screen to screen herself from them. Then we sent to her our angel, and he appeared before her as a man in all respects. So, I mean, you can spend time, mashallah, alhamdulillah, you know, bi-iznillah, with the permission of Allah, and it's like, it's not hard to see Muhammad as Mary, because he separated himself going into the cave. He separated himself from the people. He said, like, I don't like the way these people are. I don't see it. He didn't go to their parties, not even, he tried as a young boy, we told that story. But then also, once he grew up and saw the way they are, man, I can't be like these people. The life that they live is a burden, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that's Mary right there. He said when she withdrew from her family to a place in the east, she placed a screen to screen herself from them. That's what Muhammad did. Then we sent to her our angel, Jibreel. And he appeared before her as a man in all respects. And throughout his history, and we all know the hadith of Jibreel, where he did come and he appeared as a man, right? Okay, so the point is, it's not, there's no difficulty in seeing Muhammad as Mary, right? And I won't go through all that. We mentioned yesterday about the menses cycle, the cycle. Kurur, also meaning the woman's cycle, and coming from the same root that we get the word Quran as well. And then you, when you go to the part where in the Quran 2:22, where it says when they ask thee concerning women in their courses. Right, some of you have heard me go through the whole deal on that. They ask me concerning women and their courses. It says, say they are hurt and a pollution. This is Yusuf Ali. So keep away from them on their courses and do not approach them until they are clean. Well, when you get past the idea that it's not the women who are impure, it's just that the cycle itself is removing impurities from the body of the woman. So that's what the impurity is. But also cycles only come when eggs are not fertilized. When the eggs are not fertilized, the river of blood is also taking the unfertilized eggs out of the woman's body. But that is also a sign of society's women. Societies, that is, woman is a symbol of society. It's a sign of societies who reject revelation. When societies reject revelation, that is eggs that have not been fertilized. When society rejects revelation, then impurity comes on that society. So God is telling us, stay away from such societies. But when there's a society in which there is a prophet, in this case we're saying, when I say accept revelation, I mean that body has become impregnated. That society, it becomes pregnant in as much as the prophet is present among them, then that is a society in which the alaqan has taken place, and so soon there'll be birth, but after labor, which is what happened for 23 years amongst the prophet. So the feminine abstraction of Muhammad is there in the egg, in the fertilization, in understanding the menses, and they're not being a menses in as much as there is a conception, meaning the prophet is present among them. So we get that. So the rest of it. The rest of it, inshallah, Allahu alam, so it is both. It's not either or. It is both and. So, yes, Jesus, Muhammad is Jesus. He's Jesus as the Christ. So Muhammad is the return of Christ. Muhammad the prophet is the return of Christ, because without the revelation, there's no distinction between Muhammad and any other person. You can get that from reading the 16th chapter, verse 43 and 44, broader connections that this might be. 16, 43, and 44 may be next week's Jumu'ah, inshallah. But the point is that, you know, all the prophets that we sent before you were nothing but inspired men. That's what they are. They're men, and the prophet said, as Brother Mark pointed out, "Ana basharu mithlukum." I'm simply a flesh and blood human being just like you. But the point is that Allah inspired. So once that original nature gets inspired, now you have a prophet. Now you have a prophet. So again, so the prophet inspired, Muhammad ibn Abdullah inspired, he becomes the prophet. And it takes both of them, just like egg and sperm, it takes both of them in order to get the one thing called a prophet. But then you don't have a prophet unless the prophet is bringing a book. Okay, so when the prophet brings the book, so now you have the book and the prophet, right? And so and then that leads us to وَيُعَلْمُهُمْ الْكِتَابُ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ purified. That's Muhammad, he was purified. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلْمُهُمْ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةُ. So the book, so you have the book and how to live the book. And you have both of those in the one, Prophet Muhammad. And so that's the prophet walking. That's the Quran walking. So there's no separation between them. So inside of both of them, and this is very critical for the whole issue of abstract. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll be able to spend and go directly more so to human language and abstract thought. But this is the point that abstract thought, abstract. One example in an article that I read about is like the distinction between an animal and quote unquote communication, not to speak of language, but the animal and how the animal deals with things in their environment, right? And humans is abstract. The animal can only relate to the actual thing itself in its immediate environment. He doesn't abstract anything from it. If he sees something that constitutes food or a mate or what have you, then he simply reacts bodily to it as a source of food or a source of procreation. A human being, on the other hand, can look at something without thinking of it only and exclusively as a source of food or an object of procreation, what have you. In comparison to what I just said about the animal, but he can abstract from that thing and think about certain qualities about it, right? Like an apple. You know, you look at an apple, and a human being can look at an apple and not just see food. A human being can look at an apple and think about the redness of the apple, right? He can abstract from it an attribute, a quality. Okay, that's an apple, but the apple also has a quality, right? This quality is what? Red. Red itself is abstract, but I can take that idea of redness and I can relate it to something else that I know is red. It's like a rose. But an animal is not going to think about, yeah, you know what, this thing right here, it's red and it's just like roses are red. So you got roses are red, apples are red, you know, what have you. So, but animals don't, that's abstraction, right? So all of this is to say that when we look at this sign, Mary and Jesus and his mother as a sign, it's like I'm saying that you can look at that as a sign. Now you can abstract from it other things. But the thing that you're abstracting from it is a part of what it is that you're talking about. So you can abstract other qualities and other references from the one thing, but that doesn't change the one thing from being the one thing, but you can abstract from that one thing many other qualities, attributes, ideas, etc. And that's why we get a multiplicity of things, even though we're talking about, we started with one thing, Jesus and his mother assigned. And then it's that right there. You know, when you talk about grammar, I'm gonna stop talking, but when you talk about grammar, you have the transitive and the intransitive. This is also true for Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran, Khalaq al-Insan. So when you look at that, Ar-Rahman, the gracious, Allam al-Quran, caused the Quran to be known. خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. Right? So we say علم القرآن caused the Quran to be known. Well, that sentence itself is what you can understand from a grammatical perspective. Again, dealing with perspective, starting from the perspective, okay, grammatically, then what is it actually saying? It is intransitive. When I'm saying, what is it? It is intransitive. What do you mean intransitive? Meaning that its meaning is not complete until you have an object. It's intransitive, right? You have to answer the question. Okay, cause the Quran to be known, but we need some more information. What do you mean, cause to be known to who? That's the important thing, because the meaning is not complete until it ends with an object. He caused the Quran to be known. Well, what's the object? Caused the Quran to be known to who? Right? And so then it comes into the question about Muhammad, you know, caused the Quran to be known to the Prophet, and then that brings in, you know, the other information. So the point is that I don't know. It makes you think in those ways, and forcing you to think in those ways is where the information is quote unquote forced to come out, because the question forces the answer. But then, you know, you have to. I take from like Imam Nazim saying that humility. Humility, you know, it's like being passive in the face of whatever it is that you do. So let it come to you by the grace of Allah, inshallah, and that's what comes out. So, inshallah, Allahu alam. So we're going to continue on that. I hope that what I've said is clear and beneficial so far. So tomorrow, we'll spend more time. And if anything of what I said is not clear, and tomorrow will be a good time to ask me a question about it. Thank you so much for your time and your patience. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we will catch you on the other side. Everybody have a wonderful day. Allah's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.